Turn there with me, Matthew chapter 6. I don't know about you, but every once in a while I need a feel-good, lift-my-spirit message. I need to hear a good old foot-stomping, hand-clapping song on the radio to lift my spirits. I need to get some kind of text message from a friend or somebody in my family that's just a great encouraging word, because let's be honest, we hear plenty of the bad news. I don't know about you, but I have my fill of stress and worry and struggle and problems. There's always something going on in our lives that can be discouraging. And at the end of Matthew chapter 6 in verse 34, Jesus even says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is being a realist here. He says, don't stress about tomorrow, because there are plenty of stressful things going on today. This is not going to be a sermon about how to not worry, although Jesus does tell us that. He tells us, don't worry about what's not yet happened. Don't worry about tomorrow. But he also tells us about how to handle the problems that we're facing right now, today. And it's an encouraging message. The words that Jesus uses in verse 34 for trouble, it can be translated as misfortune. Misfortune. Haley Grace called me one day this week. She had stopped to get some coffee on her way to class, and the cup burst all over her and all over her car, so she had to go back to her apartment and take a shower again, change clothes, try to get all of the coffee up out of her car. And by the way, if you ride with her, you're going to get a nice aroma of coffee in her car now. That was a misfortune. A few months ago, Allison, she called me. She had a flat tire. There was a nail that had gotten in her tire. The problem was that the day before, she had had a flat tire in the same tire from another nail. That was a misfortune. Zach called me on Friday of this week, and he said, Brother Sams, our air conditioner is not working at the house, and there's a leak, a water leak. And then a little later, he said, the power's out in our whole neighborhood. I think Felicia just sat on the floor and cried. That's not a misfortune. That's evil, isn't it? There are times when life is just difficult. In fact, this word for trouble, it can be defined as evil or even as malicious. Jesus is saying there are times when life has a wicked disposition. Have you not ever felt like everyone or everything was against you? That nothing's going right? That the day itself just takes on this persona of being inherently evil. There may be times when you have even wondered if God was being spiteful towards you. So again, I think that's why this encouraging word from Jesus is so timely. Some of you are going through some trouble today, right now. You're dealing with a health issue, or you're grieving a loss, or you're in trouble financially, you're having a problem at work, there's a situation going on in your family, your marriage is in trouble, whatever it may be. Your present circumstances are full of trouble, full of difficulty, and you're not worried about tomorrow, because you're in the thick of it today. So what is this encouraging message that Jesus tells us? Well, we're going to work our way backwards through Matthew chapter 6 as we listen to Jesus' sermon that he is giving. By the way, this is actually a sermon that Jesus presented to a group of people on the side of a mountain overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And these people were just ordinary people like you and me who were just dealing with life. And I'm thinking about as Jesus is giving this message that he's also going to be the God who walks on the water when those waves are crashing all around. He's the same God giving that message who is going to calm the sea when a violent storm comes up. And so there is something very calming and peaceful about this message. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 31, Jesus says, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." I've been to the Sea of Galilee. I've been on that mountain where Jesus gave this message, and it is beautiful. It is beautiful there. There's just so many vibrant colors. The floor there is just incredible. And Jesus said, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, I mean, you think about it, here he is giving this message, and they're able to look around and see all of this. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow's thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. I just got to think, the Queen of England, in all of her regal glory, could never compare to a field of flowers filled with fragrance and vibrancy. And if God bestows such beauty on something that blooms today and wilts tomorrow, then how much more is he going to clothe you in beauty and majesty? In verse 32, he says, your heavenly Father knows just what you need. You see, some of you were worried about what you were going to wear to church today. And some of you might be wondering what you're going to eat after the service. And God says, those are trivial things. Those are insignificant things. God knows just what you need. I was talking to a young man recently who said, I am amazed at how many times that God has provided for me in just a specific way, just when I needed it. When talking about how we should pray, in verse 11 of Matthew 6, Jesus said we should ask God to give us today our daily bread. Matthew 6, 11. Give us today our daily bread. You might recall that when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, that God provided bread for them each day. But he said, only collect what you need for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. There will be more tomorrow, only for today. The New Living Translation of verse 32 says, your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Often when I pray with somebody who has received some kind of medical diagnosis that they're worried about, that they're concerned about, my prayer is going to sound something like this. God, you already knew about this illness long before they did. God, you were aware of this problem even before the doctor discovered it. God, you were already at work in this person's life for their good and for your glory. We can trust him that he knows just what we need. Some translations of Matthew 6:34, they use this word sufficient when referring to all of our troubles. It basically means each day has its full share of problems, but Jesus reminds us God is sufficient to meet all your needs. The Apostle Paul, he says in Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not the only encouraging word that Jesus gives to us in this chapter. If you go back just a little bit further, in verse 26, we hear him say that we are of great value to God. It says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and let your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Do you know what the major cause of death for birds is in the United States? What is the number one cause of death for birds in the United States? Cats. Cats. The number one reason a bird will die is because of a predator. Number two is because they fly into something, like a car, or maybe a window of a house or a building. Third, poison of some kind. Do you know what birds do not die of? Starvation. They don't. Now, there might be a few rare cases of some kind of weather event, but by and large, God feeds the billions of birds that are on this planet each and every day. And he says, if I'm going to do that, don't you think I'm going to take care of you? I think it's a good message for us. There's a similar passage to this one in chapter 6 in Matthew chapter 10. If you want to hold your place in Matthew 6 and just flip over a couple of chapters, we'll look at that together. Matthew chapter 10. In verses 29 through 31, he says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care or outside of his knowledge. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. There's a companion passage to this in Luke. And he says this in verse 6 and 7 of chapter 12. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Now, this is just a little side note that I thought was interesting. In Matthew chapter 10, two sparrows cost how much? One penny. And in Luke, five sparrows cost how much? Two pennies. So let's kind of do some math. If we're going to buy two sparrows, how much should that cost us? One penny. If we bought four sparrows, then how much should that cost us? Two pennies. How much does he say five sparrows are for? Two pennies. That means that even during the time of the New Testament, they had a buy four, get one free sale. Pretty interesting, isn't it? These small birds were sold in the market for meat. They were just hanging on a wire. A penny could get you a meal. Some of them were already on a skewer and roasted. The idea here is that these little birds of little value are under God's care. He noticed when each one fell to the ground. They're not forgotten by God. And if he cares for the fate of a bird that cost a penny, then how much greater of worth are you? You're worth infinitely more than a bird. I think what's often overlooked in these words of Jesus, though, is the context in which they're spoken. And context is always so important. You see, if you go up and you look at what's transpiring before Jesus makes this statement, you'll notice that the disciples are concerned about persecution. They are afraid for their very lives. They're afraid that they're going to be attacked, beaten, maybe even killed. And Jesus reminds them of God's faithfulness in watching over their well-being. He tells them that God values our lives so much that he even knows if a hair falls from your head. He watches over you each and every day. I've often heard pastors say, Don't worry because God is the God of tomorrow. Well, I'm telling you, God is the God of today. And he will meet your needs. He is ever mindful of your situation. Whatever trouble you may be facing, don't be afraid because God loves you. He values you. So let's go back to the very first words of this section in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? He says, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what might happen or what might not happen. Don't worry about what's happening right now today. You might have spilled coffee all over yourself this morning. You may have wrecked the family car. You may have a problem at work. You may have gotten a diagnosis from a doctor. You may have more bills than you have money. You may have any number of things going on in your life. But Jesus says, God sees it all. He sees every one of those things. He cares about you. He cares about what's happening in your life. He says, you are my treasured possession. Your situation has not escaped my loving eyes. I know what you need. In verse 33, he says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Well, we know this verse, but what does it mean? You see, some people are so consumed with their problems that that's all they can see. And they fail to seek God's righteousness. And that word righteousness, it really means a right relationship. So are you seeking a right relationship with God? Are you seeking the approval of God? If you'll seek his approval above everything else, then you don't have to worry about your life. He'll meet your needs. He will provide for you just when you need it. What is this encouraging word from God today? Well, Jesus tells us in John 16, in this world, you will have trouble. He says, go ahead and write it down. It's going to happen. But take heart. I've overcome the world. You cannot add a single hour to your life by worrying. You cannot change your circumstances by worrying. However, you can find peace in knowing that God sees what you're going through. He's not forsaken you. He's not forgotten you. He only knows what you need and when you need it. He loves you. So, who or what are you putting your trust in today? A lot of us, we put trust in ourselves that we'll figure this out, that we'll take care of our problem. I hear people now saying, trust the process. But what do you do when the process fails? I would tell you, trust the one who supersedes the process. There's a song that has been resonating within my heart for some time now, and the words just really speak into my spirit. I want to share it with you today. It says, to anyone who ever lost your way, to everyone who ever felt ashamed, here's a song for all the brokenhearted. I believe you're only getting started. To anyone who trusts in Jesus' name, watch your world become forever changed. Here's a song about light from darkness. I believe you're only getting started. If you only knew the treasure that you really are, if you could understand the measure of the Father's heart. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Fall in his arms and let him wash you clean. He'll tear off the chains so that you can be free. A new life begins and the old is redeemed. Oh, I believe that you're just getting started. Would you bow your head with me, please? Whatever is going on in your life today, I encourage you to cast your burdens upon the Lord. Give it to Him. Trust Him. Believe by faith that He loves you and values you more than anything. And this altar is going to be open, and you can bring those burdens and those problems here and lay them at His feet today. If there is an emptiness in your heart, if there is a void within your spirit, then I encourage you today to invite Jesus to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior. And I'd love the chance to talk to you about how you can have that peace and that assurance of God's presence. Dear Jesus, I pray for each person here, Lord, that you would just put your arms of love around them right now. Let them know that you're there to meet their need today. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, please, to meet their need today. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, please, and you come and seek the face of God today.
On me.